Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 10th day of February 2022. And I'm thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest named Pastor Matt Tarr. He is the pastor teacher at High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, Pennsylvania, which is a church revitalization effort in northeastern Pennsylvania through the Grace Advanced Ministry of John MacArthur. And today we are going to be addressing the current state of education, and we'll also be introducing High Point Classical Academy. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Matt Tarr.
Thanks, Chris. It's really good to be on the program with you.
Well, tell our listeners, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar with High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, perhaps they failed to hear your previous interviews with me. Tell us about this church.
High Point Baptist Church was actually started in 1892 down in the Wyoming Valley area of northeastern Pennsylvania. And it was around 2000 that it had relocated. It was a very small little church. It was landlocked, and so they were maxing out their facility over three services in town, and so they bought a little country plot, on the top of a mountain, hence the change in the name to High Point Baptist Church, and built a rather large facility. You go back to the original board meetings and congregational presentations and things of that nature. They built the worship center to accommodate 500 people at a time and believed that through using a lot of pragmatic methods, they could grow the church through human means to seeker-sensitive means. Their pastors were going to Rick Warren's pastors' conferences every year and so forth. They could reduplicate what they were doing down in town up here. Over three services, they could have 500 people in a service and 1,500 people total. Took out a really disproportionate amount of debt for their actual congregation size. Now, they did get close to 500 for a while, but they very quickly began to compromise doctrinal integrity, because if you're going to appeal to a broad number of people because your objective isn't to your objective isn't discipleship and growing people in their knowledge of the truth and likeness of Jesus Christ, but rather to pack a place out, you're going to try to be more broad. So they brought in music teams that were Pentecostal, and they started having health, wealth, prosperity, gospel preacher conferences. In fact, you were at our ACBC conference last summer.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this until we hosted that conference. Of course, that was the first Association of Certified Biblical Counselors conference in our state. But the last conference our church hosted, outside of our church conference. So we were inviting an organization in. It was actually a health, wealth, prosperity gospel preacher.
Wow.
So, that's where they were at. So you might say they were Baptist in name only, really. But ultimately, what was beginning to happen here was exactly the model that the church in Corinth was dealing with. And of course, as you know, that was largely what motivated me to do my doctoral thesis on the church in Corinth and the source of factions there and the relationship to Corinthian sophistry. That sophistry was really a pragmatic, method-driven, emotional-driven use of rhetoric to sway crowds and energize masses of people. It wasn't that sophistry was completely absent of truth. There was truth, but that wasn't the substance. Their method of persuasion was really less persuasion because it wasn't using the Word of God and appealing to hearts through the Word of God, but rather manipulation, methods of manipulation, so if you can make that distinction there. Anyway, so... but because the church had really followed in that same pragmatic-driven Corinthian sophistry, the same thing that happened to the Corinthian church, in effect, happened here. The church then underwent a split that would be going back to, I think it was 2012, and then all of a sudden, maybe 90 people are left here holding this incredible mortgage. And it was at that time, you know, the Lord was working in the men that were here. At the time, it was a deacon-led church, and the deacons were acting as elders, and they began reading books by John MacArthur on what the church is, by John Piper on what the church is, and Mark Dever on what the church is, and so forth, and began to implement those changes. That led them to become a Grace Advanced Revitalization effort, as you mentioned. When one of the deacons acting as an elder heard on the radio about this program, and he thought, well, that might help us, because who's going to come here when we have this debt for a building that we thought we were taking out for 1,500 people, but at least it was sustainable with 500 people. And I say sustainable. They had never passed a black budget since they were up here, and you know, some of the older folks that were here throughout that time will tell you, like, there were seasons that were so bad they couldn't pass an annual budget even. It was 6 months, you know, that was the best they could do at a time. But anyway, who's going to come to a church of 90 people, maybe 100 on a really good day? I remember our first Sunday, and I think we breached 102. And, I mean, the place, we are all just filled with enthusiasm because of, you know, it seemed like we had packed the place out. But you still have 100 people in a worship center for 500. So it was pretty spread out. And we still had the chairs set up from where the church had last left off, you know, around 250 before the split had happened. But, they reached out to Grace Advance to see if this was something that they could potentially help with. That's how I heard about this church. I grew up in the Poconos, and I was jaw-dropped about not only what happened in this flock, but by their recaptured love for the Word of Christ and the recovery of the gospel here. And sure, there was serious financial issues. When I was candidating, they're showing me the books, and they're going, look, we have, you know, 15 months, we'll be out of our savings based on our income and what we'll be paying you. We can pay you a little bit more, but then we're going to be out of money more quickly. So what do you want to do? And I kind of thought, well, my goodness, I mean, what the Lord had done in the hearts of these people, why wouldn't I want to come? Now, any church that you're going to go to is going to be... You're dealing with sin. You're going to be dealing with all kinds of different issues, and especially since my interest was especially piqued in revitalization efforts, just kind of how the Lord had knit my heart together. Not so much interested in planting, but at least I didn't think so. Anyway, so I'm looking at this church, and I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to go into a revitalization, it's either going to be people problems or money problems. So it seems to me that I'll deal with the money problems any day. That's a pretty good deal. And what's the worst that can happen? I mean, we run out of money in 15 months, and who's left at that point? I'm not naive. I know that, you know, people will, you know, I'll disappoint people. There'll have been false expectations. You know, we got a pastor, he came, and we didn't recover the finances of the church. So I knew there was risk involved, and so people would likely leave if in 15 months we ran out of money. So what, we're 90, 100 people, and maybe 50 people at that point in a year and a half time to start a new church in a more affordable facility. We're clear of debt because we gave everything back to the bank. That's a really good situation to start a church plant. It's a much better situation for many of my friends, in fact, that were in the Grace Advanced Academy that were planting churches with 4 or 12 people. So, and of course, from day one, when my wife and I came to High Point, we just felt as though this were our family. And we just loved growing the Word of God together as a church. Right after we came, they amended their constitution and bylaws to become an elder-led, congregationally ruled church. From there, after preaching through the Gospel of Mark, we went through 1 Timothy together as a church as we kind of looked at what the church is and what it should be. After we looked at who Christ is and then therefore who we should be in the Gospel of Mark, as Mark presents Christ as the suffering servant. And it was after that, as we're looking at biblical eldership and how the church is governed, that we became an elder rule church from there. And the Lord has continued to bless our ministry. So, you know, there are difficult seasons. We are just coming out of an extremely difficult one for the church, and it's not over. I certainly think it's going to get much, much more difficult for the church in the days ahead. And that's actually what has motivated myself and our elders as we analyzed, you know, the reality that we're in an out-of-season culture. The Lord really laid on our hearts the importance that we train young hearts to live in an out-of-season culture. So that's what ultimately led to the conception of High Point Classical Academy. So that's kind of maybe a 30,000-foot view of the history of our church, you might say, and kind of, you know, to where we've gotten right now.
Now, if you could, you've mentioned Grace Advance Ministry, a ministry of Dr. John MacArthur and Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California. Why don't you be more detailed about this Grace Advance Ministry?
Yeah, so Grace Advance, it's really a unique model. Because typically in a church plant type scenario, you know, what do? Well, you send a guy to a location or have him search a location online, and you send him there maybe to analyze or scout out the area based on a perception that, you know, I think this is where a church should be. And maybe there's good justification for that. You're looking at the area. And you're saying there really aren't churches here. That is a great place to start a church, but who builds the church? I don't. The Lord builds the church. So you can't just go to a region and assume that the Lord will build the church there. And typically in that analysis, you're looking at, okay, is the community growing? Are people moving in? Are new families moving in? Or is the area in a state of decline? Are people leaving? Things like that. Well, Grace Advance, in its beginning philosophy, is that Christ builds his church. So, because of Grace Community Church's profile, its relationship with John MacArthur and his ministry at Grace to You, you know, folks who call Grace Community all the time. In fact, I used to work there, and one of my responsibilities that I shared with a few others was called Pastor of the Day. And folks would call Grace Community Church, oftentimes with questions and things. But one of the most common questions people would ask is, can you help me find a good church? I don't know where there's a good church in my area. I've tried. I just moved here. You know, just as a word of pastoral counsel to your listeners, before you take a new job, scout out the area for a good church. Make sure there's a good church there before you take a new job. Oftentimes people just assume that maybe they were in a great church, and they just assume there's always going to be a great church in every city, and that is not true. And oftentimes people find out after the fact they can't find a good church. Same thing is true for young students entering into college. It is the most important consideration whenever if you're leaving the home to go to college is there a good local church there for you to serve in while you're in college? You don't stop being a Christian for 4 years while you're getting your undergraduate degree. And so as a believer, you must prioritize serving Christ in his church. Anyway, I think I got a little bit off track there. Oh, so folks would call Grace Community Church. Is there a good church in my area? I can't find a good church. Do you happen to know one? And we would do the best we could. Sometimes we'd have contacts we knew. We'd look at the TMS placement map. The Master Seminary has a placement map of its graduates. We'd look at ACBC. ACBC's website, biblicalcounseling.com, also has a placement map where their certified counselors are, and typically those individuals are in good churches. So we'd look at those two resources and see if there's anybody close to them. Or maybe there's somebody an hour away. The church is an hour away, and we'd call them and see. Maybe they know of somebody a half hour closer that we don't. So, but what Grace began to do was started, you know, on a map, they started to put pins in regions where people were calling from. And you began to see clusters of people. And the idea was, well, these are areas it seems that the Lord is building his church, and there are people that are calling from that same region looking for a biblical, sound church, but they don't have a shepherd. And so sometimes the people would already know each other, sometimes they wouldn't, and we would connect them together. Grace Community then designated some of their elders to serve on in this new ministry, to help oversee this new ministry called Grace Advance. And they would begin to scout out those kind of founding members of these churches that were beginning to pop up around the United States and around the world. And then they built a Grace Advance Academy to specifically train men uniquely to go into church plant and revitalization context. There's, you know, some practical and unique elements to that that you're not necessarily taught in seminary. I was not taught in seminary how to run an elder board meeting. You know, so that's a part of the Grace Advance Academy, just very practically speaking. Typically, though, if you're walking into an established church, you don't necessarily need to know how to run an elder board meeting. You already have a president or a chair of the elder board, and you can kind of learn along the way. I wasn't taught in seminary how to make sure that, you know, how to set up a church properly, register the church, so that when folks are filing their taxes at the end of the year, they actually can declare that as a tax write-off because they gave it to a charitable organization. You don't want to find out you did that wrong. So, but there's also a lot of other practical elements and wisdom that they impart, practical wisdom that they impart in that institute in dealing with, like I said, the uniquely challenging situations, because you wear a lot of hats when you're walking into a church plant scenario or a revitalization scenario.
So let me get this straight. If there is a church out there, and whatever root base of congregants are still in existence at this church that may have almost completely fallen apart, and they share in common the theology, the doctrine, and the mission of not only Grace Community Church of Sun Valley, California, but Grace to You Ministries. They have a lot in common with what they hear and read. from Dr. MacArthur, they can contact this organization and request help to seek to bring revitalization to that church, to get perhaps even a man of God or men of God sent there who desire to fill the gap there and become either temporary preachers and teachers until a permanent man is found, or perhaps even immediately wanting the permanent position. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, so you can go to graceadvance.org and find out a little bit more about it and what Grace Advance provides, and also apply as a Grace Advance church through that. And what they do is you have to candidate to become a part of the Grace Advance program, a pastor that they would recommend to a Grace Advance church. But the Grace Advance church has to likewise do the same thing. They have to apply. They're carefully vetted, by the elders at Grace Community Church to ensure the integrity of these people. And that they're not just going to chew up and spit out a guy that they invested a significant amount of time and money into. They don't provide financial support, but, you know, the money and the education, and time is money, so of this individual. But then the elders also act as off-site elders, they call them. They're counselors that come with the... They come with, not physically, but they come with the Grace Advance pastor. And so they'll zoom in or call in and be there on hand to help make decisions and lead the church, guide the church, and until the church becomes stable or more established and is able to appoint its own elders and can be more autonomous.
Great. And by the way, I'm planning on repeating this later, but also if you want to find out more about High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, go to highpointbaptist.com, highpointbaptist.com, and hopefully I'll remember to repeat that later on. We're going to go to our first break right now. If anybody wants to send in a question to Pastor Matt Tarr regarding the mission and vision of High Point Baptist Church of Larksville in regard to the current state of education, in regard to their new High Point Classical Academy or on classical Christian education in general, or if you just have a pastoral question, since our guest today is a pastor, send in your email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Since 2007, Anchored in Truth Ministries has hosted the annual True Church Conference at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This conference began as a training conference for pastors and church leaders who are striving to build true, biblically healthy churches. Conference themes have included church discipline, repentance, discipleship, conversion, hyper-Calvinism, the family, the doctrine of sin, and the pretenders. Anchored in Truth Ministries would like to invite you to the 2022 True Church Conference, which will be held from February 17th through the 20th. The theme of the conference will be Healthy Body Life in the Local Church, specifically as it pertains to biblical church discipline, biblical counseling, biblical conflict resolution, and protecting the sheep from savage wolves. The scheduled speakers for the conference are Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Jeff Noblet, Jonathan Sims, Richard Caldwell, David Miller, and Barry King. For more information or to register for the conference, please visit anchoredintruth.org. That's anchoredintruth.org. And click on the True Church Conference tab at the top of the page. Hope to see you there.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck at First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Vigneault, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
We We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
And Daniel P. Buttafuoco, the founder and president of the Historical Bible Society, is going to be my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon speaker, which will, God willing, be held on Thursday, April 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, about 20 minutes from Carlisle. All men in ministry leadership are invited to this free event. If you are a man who is a pastor, a deacon, a leader of a parachurch organization, or whatever leadership position you hold, and you're a man, you are invited to this event, which is absolutely free, and that free invitation includes a delicious meal. It includes dozens of books that will be given away absolutely free of charge by major Christian publishers across the United States and the United Kingdom. And every man will be leaving with a heavy sack of books, books that I personally select every year, twice a year, from these publishers who donate them. They donate enough copies so every man attending can get their own copy. And also, you'll get to hear Dan Buttafuoco give his presentation on how we received the Bible from the original languages into the English language. And he will have with him a portion of his very rare and priceless collection of Christian books and Bibles of antiquity. He'll have a portion of that collection of the Historical Bible Society present at this event, and that will include a first edition 1611 King James Bible, a first edition illustrated Fox's Book of Martyrs, and a page from the Gutenberg Bible, which is the first Bible ever printed. So if you'd like to attend, that's Thursday, April 7th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. We want to thank Dan Buttafuoco also of the Historical Bible Society for his very generous donation that he recently sent us on top of his regular advertising budget with us. Thank you so much, Dan. It couldn't have arrived at a better time. We are now back with our guest today, Matt Tarr, pastor teacher at High Point Baptist Church of Larksville, Pennsylvania. And we are discussing the current state of education, introducing High Point Classical Academy. And when you lament, Pastor Matt, about the current state of education, I'm assuming that this is not exclusively a charge or critique of education in the secular realm. There are quite a number of churches that have perhaps naively or unconsciously bought into models of education that are unbiblical, that include things that are even dangerous. I have interviewed a woman who is trying to purge even the conservative Lutheran churches of some of their absolutely abominable sex education courses. It's mind-boggling that conservative Lutheran denominations would still be carrying on some of these courses. You understand why the apostate and liberal and leftist denominations would, but just when conservatives do it, it's just absolutely it's absolutely mind-blowing. But anyway, pick up where I left off there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And when you look at the state of education in America today, it really begins with the church, and it begins with the Christian institution drifting away from transcendent truth. So I've been teaching through Pilgrim's Progress in our institute on Wednesday nights in our church, and you know, recently we just went through our analysis of Apollyon's attack against Christian, and what's interesting about that is one, you know, Christian is wounded in three areas. He's wounded in the helmet, and of course in the armor that Christian is wearing comes right out of Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. And so what is the helmet? The helmet is the helmet of salvation. And he's wounded in his salvation. Well, what is that? Well, he begins to doubt his salvation, and he begins to despair, and that leads him to be wounded in the hand. He loses his sword, and, of course, the sword of truth. And so he's no longer able to, you know, so he's questioning the word of God. He's no longer to wield the sword of truth, to defend the truth, and ultimately then he's wounded in his feet, which, of course, in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about. The feet are what carry the good news of the gospel. So he's rendered completely inoperative as a Christian until he regains strength, thrusts the sword into Apollyon, and then an angel of the Lord comes and ministers to Christian. But, you know, even when you think about the state of education in America, this goes back, this has always been the tactic of the father of lies, right from the beginning, in the garden when he tempted Eve to eat the fruit of the knowledge of tree of good and evil, and brought her to question the truth. Has God really said? So that's been his tactic, his method all along. It goes all the way back to, you know, the very first institution in American soil that was established by Puritans at Harvard. And, you know, most of your listeners are probably at least somewhat familiar with the history at Harvard. But Harvard, their original motto was Veritas Christo et Ecclesia, which means truth for Christ in the church, which is amazing for us to think about given where the school is at today. But their first formal rules and precepts were adopted about 10 years after the school was established, which, you know, was maybe about 15 years or so after the Pilgrims landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts. And their rules and precepts said that every student should be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself by prayer in secret to seek it of Him. Well, of course, that is really, we're going to be talking about what classical education is in a little while, but that is the essence of classical education. It begins to identify what is the true nature of knowledge. And that understanding was defined as the Puritans and the Reformers recognized knowledge is meaningless if we're only training the intellect. And that has been the public education system for a long time in America, especially since the 1920s to 1940s, after the educational reform brought by John Dewey. But that was even, you know, the catalyst for that, you know, the groundwork for that was laid by Horace Mann a century before. But anyway, those are the principles of education, understanding that knowledge in public education, I'm sorry, I kind of got distracted there, public education reformed itself as a secular humanist worldview, means of education that was oriented towards training you for career. And because it's a godless system, it's materialistic in nature, and because it's materialistic in nature, ultimately, that is the end of knowledge, materialism. But in a Christian worldview, we understand that that's not knowledge. Knowledge is wisdom. Knowledge is knowing God, knowing how to glorify God in heaven. You know, the Westminster Confession, the chief end of man. But Harvard was initially established, to pick up on your comments, for the purpose of training men for ministry, and it didn't stand by that principle for very long. Jonathan Edwards' father was trained there, and by the time Jonathan Edwards was going to school, Yale had already been established because Harvard defected from the truth. And so now, today, its motto is simply Veritas. Not Veritas Christo et Ecclesia, but just Veritas, just truth. And it begs the question, what is truth? What is true? It's playing right into postmodernism. So Yale was started, and their motto was Lux et Veritas, light and truth, which is, of course, is allegorical for doctrine and truth, or virtue, you might even say, in truth. And, you know, the story, Yale defected likewise. By the time Jonathan Edwards is in his 50s, Princeton is started. He's invited to be the first president of Princeton College. Then Princeton defects from the truth, and Westminster in Philadelphia is started. And all of that is, you know, the same thing we're seeing even in Christian education today. And another component of Christian education that that is greatly concerning to me is the lack of excellence in Christian education. That's not always the case, but it is often the case in secondary and primary education. Christians and churches will open schools. Now, Pennsylvania, we're somewhat unique. It's a blessing and a curse. Because the way the Department of Education and the Pennsylvania Constitution is designed, it gives tremendous freedom to churches. So we don't have to be licensed. You know, if you open a school under a bona fide religious institution, a church, we don't have to be licensed by the state, and we don't have to be accredited by the state. And unfortunately, churches have often then, in turn, taken advantage of that to provide extremely affordable education, which I'm certainly an advocate of, but by compromising the commitment to excellence. And so they pay their teachers very poorly, they have very low retainment, there's little discipleship and shepherding care for those teachers, their classrooms are haphazard, and so they kind of just make do. And I understand, you know, churches are nonprofits, and we don't have, you know, a whole lot of money to spend on education and things like that, but we should always be pursuing excellence in everything that we do. That is consistent with the Christian worldview. So it's just a point of concern that I have. But beyond that, you know, the state of education in America began really to be reformed by Horace Mann, as I already mentioned, who began to move America's education system that was really developed and founded by the Puritans for the preservation of life and liberty that our country was founded on. Those are Christian principles, and even our secular and pagan founding fathers recognized that the essence of liberty and freedom, the ideas of liberty and freedom, could only come from a Christian worldview. It's inconsistent with the secular humanism that we have today. And in fact, I had a friend, he actually just messaged me during the break. He happened to be watching a YouTube video of Alexander Solzhenitsyn from a lecture that he gave at Harvard. You know, Harvard, he's speaking to Harvard liberals, and he says, "Your godlessness is the same philosophical foundation as the USSR, and it's where you're going to end up." And he commented, what's funny about this video is that they actually applaud him for it, and they don't know what to do because they see him as a hero of free speech, so they applaud him when he's actually reproving them. And he goes on to say that it is time in the West to not so much defend human rights as human obligations. And then he gets an overwhelming applause from them, and he kind of has a Paul Washer moment there. You know, that most of your audience is also probably familiar with the shocking youth message that the Lord used to somewhat launch Paul Washer's ministry, and he's addressing a really critical issue among the youth in that message right from the very beginning, and everybody claps. And Paul Washer just directly and compassionately reproves them and says, "I don't know why you're clapping. I'm talking about you." And so this is the same moment that is happening here at Harvard. They don't realize that he's actually talking about them when he says that it is time in the West to not so much defend human rights as human obligations, a civic duty to defend human rights. But anyway, as we're looking at where society is at today, where I kind of began a little while ago before the break, we're looking at the reality that we are raising children in an out-of-season world. And Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, that to be on guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and the day of eternity. Amen." And so that is the objective of Christian education ultimately, of course. And we also understand from Paul's comments in 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4 that men will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and themselves being deceived. And so we have to be proactive to train our youth as a first mission field, as parents and as the church, to in true knowledge, in the knowledge of God. Interestingly, also, to go back to Harvard for just a moment, when Emerson Hall opened their School of Philosophy in 1906, the words were inscribed in stone, and they're still there today, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And that wasn't what was supposed to be inscribed. The philosophical department submitted to the president at the time, "Man is the measure of all things." They're quoting from the 5th century B.C. Greek philosopher Protagoras there. "Man is the measure of all things." And so the president was, you know, bristling because of that. And so he instead had it changed. "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Of course, man is nothing. And truth does not come from himself. through this transcendent truth that comes from yourself, that's the essence of secular humanism. It defies the existence of God, and then it brings into question what is moral, what is just, what is freedom, what is liberty. And when we talk about the state of education in Pennsylvania in particular, what some of these revolutions that were begun by Horace Mann and John Dewey established were really the precursors of what we refer to as today as social-emotional learning. And one of the fundamental tenets of social-emotional learning, you'll hear repeatedly, is the idea that we are educating our students to be good citizens, good citizenry. Well, from a secular humanistic worldview, tell me what is good. What is your definition of good?
Right. They would teach people that if you're not celebrating the act of homosexuality, not even tolerating it, but celebrating it, that you are doing something evil if you're not celebrating it, that you are being hateful. That's what they view in the secular society today as good.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because, you know, that was predictable. It was predictable because, John Dewey especially, he was a cultural Marxist, and he found strong appeal in the socialistic system of the USSR and wanted to create and establish progressive education in the United States. So that was the reform that he set out to accomplish, and successfully, through the financial bankrolling of the Rockefeller family. But social-emotional learning, yeah, so from the very beginning, its conception that was widely adopted, it's been adopted for quite a while now in schools, it brings the question, what is the nature of good? And all right, so we're talking, we don't know the definition of good. That comes from humanity itself. Well, we know what happens in those societies that are socialistic, that have denied the existence of transcendent truth because they're atheistic, and then logically you carry out what good is for them? Well, you're operating under Darwinian evolutionary theory. What is morally good in Darwinian revolutionary theory? Well, it's life. It's not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's just life. In other words, you're just talking about survival of the species. So, what do you do to society to make sure that you end up on top at the end? And that's why socialistic, communist societies, societies that are entirely humanistic in nature are always going to result in mass genocide, abuse of the people. It is the antithesis of life and liberty.
And believe it or not, I was raised Roman Catholic. I was a Catholic before being born again by the mercy and grace of God. And I went to a Catholic parochial school for 8 years, grammar school, first to eighth grade. And we were taught Darwinian evolution as fact in the science class.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting is I went through public education. I was in high school, 10th grade biology, and my teacher was Roman Catholic, and she straight up told us, listen, this is a theory. I don't believe this. So she kind of just hastened her way along, identify the problems with it, and then concluded the class with, I'm a creationist and here's why. I don't think that would ever happen today. But social-emotional learning, it has problems at the very beginning. You can't even get out of the adjective for citizenry before you have problems. But then when you look at the adjective itself, okay, let's look at citizenry, and we're talking about good citizenry here. What exactly does that look like?
In fact, we got to pick up on what does good citizenry look like after the break, because we have to go to our midway break right now. Just don't forget where we left off, Pastor. This is the longer than normal break, folks, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to air their own public service announcements and other local things that localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida. While they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently respond to them. And when you cannot purchase their products and use their services and support their parachurch organizations and visit their churches, when you can't do any of those things, please, at the very least, respond to our advertisers using the contact information they provide in their ads by saying, thank you for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That is indeed, if you are indeed grateful that people are supporting this show financially, if you indeed love this show, then please thank those who make the show possible by sending them a brief message through the contact information they provide. Also, send in a question to Pastor Matt Tarr, chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Pastor Matt Tarr after these messages.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Since 2007, Anchored in Truth Ministries has hosted the annual True Church Conference at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This conference began as a training conference for pastors and church leaders who are striving to build true, biblically healthy churches. Conference themes have included church discipline, repentance, discipleship, conversion, hyper-Calvinism, the family, the doctrine of sin, and the pretenders. Anchored in Truth Ministries would like to invite you to the 2022 True Church Conference, which will be held from February 17th through the 20th. The theme of the conference will be Healthy Body Life in the Local Church, specifically as it pertains to biblical church discipline, biblical counseling, biblical conflict resolution, and protecting the sheep from savage wolves. The scheduled speakers for the conference are Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Jeff Noblet, Jonathan Sims, Richard Caldwell, David Miller, and Barry King. For more information or to register for the conference, please visit anchoredintruth.org. That's anchoredintruth.org. And click on the True Church Conference tab at the top of the page. Hope to see you there.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, with Easter coming up and all other kinds of occasions where you purchase gifts for those whom you love, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, retirement parties, etc., etc. Please make as your first stop for gift giving solid-ground-books.com. Solid-ground-books.com, publishers of the finest in Christian literature, dating back as far as the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward into the future, featuring such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. At solid-ground-books.com, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Folks, we are in some perilous times financially here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're urging you, please, if you do really love the show, if you benefit from listening to it, either live or from the recorded MP3s that are archived on the website, if you love the show, please help us. We are really in need, in urgent need of your financial assistance. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and you can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. I always try to remember to remind the listeners every day, please do not carve money out of the regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you're a member. In other words, don't give your church less by giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a gift. Please don't do that. Also, please don't put your family in further financial jeopardy if you are really struggling to survive by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands in Scripture to provide for your church and your family. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, please, if you love the show, share some of that money that you have been given by the grace of God. Share some of that with us if you want us to remain on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally sound church, I have extensive lists of these churches, fitting that description, all over the planet Earth. So no matter where you live, spanning the globe, I may be able to help you find a church near you. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. I'll get back to you as soon as possible with church recommendations that I find near you that are truly biblically sound. Also, that's the email address where you can send in a question to Matt Tarr. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Before the break, Pastor Tarr, you were discussing how we must critically respond to the concept of training young people to be good citizens and what exactly that means.
Right. So one of the key components of modern public education incorporates what's referred to as SEL, or social-emotional learning, that instructs the mind of a young citizen to become a good citizen. But as we said, what defines good and what defines good citizenry? And we started the program with 2 Peter chapter 3. And we've been seeing this now being lived out before our eyes. Well, those who are defining good citizenry are the unprincipled men. And C.S. Lewis, you know, I'm definitely not an advocate of all things C.S. Lewis. I appreciated, you know, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, as many have, but I have deep problems with his view on substitutionary atonement, and also, you know, at times he sounds like a universalist, but he said in his work, The Abolition of Man, that we make men without chests and expect of them virtue and enterprise. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst. We castrate and bid the geldings be fruitful. And so he was right about that. And what he was saying is that men generally lack any sense of virtue because they have no heart. And I want to talk about that is the essence of what classical education is that we're trying to recover here in High Point Classical Academy. is Christian education that addresses the heart. You often hear when you learn about classical education, it's education for the whole of the person rather than materialistic education. It's education to prepare a student for a career. Well, that's very short-sighted and temporal. We need to train the whole of the person. And when the reformers began to prioritize the nature of education, they understood the nature of education. That's exactly what they set out to do, as well as the Puritans when they established the first public education systems in America. But getting back to something that you had commented on, Chris, when we're talking about good citizenry, it's really interesting to see how good citizenry has become defined by, if, for example, not only defending something like homosexual behavior, which is clearly defined in Scripture as sin, but going beyond that to celebrating it. The end of Romans chapter 1. Excuse me. Well, that again goes back to the issue in social-emotional learning. Social-emotional learning was something that we always had a problem with, but beyond that, it's interesting that back in about 2018, the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning, which is considered to be a long-standing standard bearer for social-emotional learning education, published a paper, and they said that the potential for social-emotional learning to be utilized for racial and class oppression education has been under-realized. And 2 years later, in 2020, the Collaborative for Academic, Social, and Emotional Learning updated the definition of social-emotional learning to, quote, emphasize the skills, knowledge, and mindsets needed to examine prejudices and biases, evaluate social norms and systemic inequities, and promote community well-being. Enter in Loudoun County, Virginia, right, where we've been seeing all these parents going to their school boards, and we've been seeing it all across the country, where parents are asking the boards, why are we teaching critical race theory in our school? Well, they're very happy to hear that question asked, because they can smugly say, we're not teaching critical race theory, we don't have critical race theory curriculum, because they changed the meaning of words. And so they're just substituting a new word for critical race theory. It's social-emotional learning. Critical race theory is a worldview. It isn't a curriculum. It's a way of interpreting life. And it's extremely problematic. We don't have time to get into that. But at this point, most people are familiar, at least with the essence of what critical race theory is. But social-emotional learning became the lens that critical race theory is being taught through. And immediately, parents began to recognize a difference in their school systems. Just as COVID broke out, schools were closed, shut down, parents were locked out of classrooms they couldn't access, but then they're listening and hearing what their children are being taught. They're being taught critical race theory through social-emotional learning from their computers as their teachers are Zooming and, you know, using Google Classrooms and things like that. They're becoming very upset because they realize, you know, even unbelieving parents, you know, there's many Christians in our school district and many non-Christians in our school district. Both sides are upset because, you know, even those that aren't Christians, they still have a Romans 1, 18 to 21 concept of what God has revealed about himself in nature. So they have concepts of truth, of what is good. They have a conscience that bears witness to those things. And so they have a problem with this. But the reform for social-emotional learning, which was always inherently problematic, now became redefined to instruct students in skills, knowledge, mindsets needed to examine prejudices and biases, evaluate social norms and systemic inequities, which goes beyond even just the amount of melanin in somebody's skin to now your gender status. Now enter in 2022, in January. I picked up a 78-page document, and this was the latest ESSER grant for a friend of mine gave it to me. It's a Pennsylvania American Rescue Plan, ESSER State Plan. Now, of course, these were intended for COVID mitigation. This was published in July 2021. And now we're still grappling, right, with the question, what is good citizenry from a humanistic worldview? Well, it is what celebrates evil. But this is on page 11. The highest priority needs for the 2021-2022 school year, and these are for, you know, Pennsylvania public schools, social and emotional wellness, mental health, trauma-informed instruction, LGBTQ plus students, safety and belongingness, in an inclusive, welcoming school environment, safe spaces such as student organizations to express themselves. What does that mean exactly? Social supports, acknowledging fear and harassment is a barrier to socializing, emotional supports and mental health supports, counseling and mental health support staff, relationships with trusted adults, and the need for training for staff to implement trauma-informed and all-inclusive practices at school. So what does an all-inclusive practice look like for an LGBTQ plus student? Well, what you're seeing at, I don't remember if it's Penn State or UPenn, you know, where men who can't even figure out whether they're a male or a female are swimming on the women's swim team. But that's just the tip of the spear. Beyond that, you back up a little bit to page 9, and you have another highest priority need for the 2021-2022 school year. And it says students need teachers who are, quote, mirrors of their gender in fields where certain genders are underrepresented. I.e., science, math, history, according to one stakeholder, representation matters. Inclusive school culture on the basis of gender, staff training and awareness to mitigate gender bias and stereotyping. In other words, schools need to prioritize hiring teachers who reflect and normalize homosexual behavior. Well, you know, there were reasons. Our boys were attending our local public elementary school, and that was a very calculated and careful decision that my wife and I made. We live in a very conservative school district, or at least did, and we weren't ignorant of the problems in public education. And I realized there's quite a breadth of opinion about when Christian parents should or shouldn't have their kids in public school. But we were never committed to the public education system. We wanted to use it as very proactive parents as a means of instructing our children's hearts so that they know 1 Corinthians chapter 5, how to be in the world but not of the world, so that they could be light in darkness and yet at the same time very discerning and careful of their hearts, knowing that in their youth they're almost certainly not believers as of yet. They're undiscerning, and so we want to be protective and know what they're learning. And our fingers were always on the trigger. We were never committed to the system, ready to pull them out. Well, when I read that, I knew that I might want to train the hearts of my children to learn to be in the world but not of the world, but at the same time, there's no way I'm going to be a lot. I will not sit by when the fire of heaven comes down on Sodom. And so we knew at that moment that this was over. This was it. And as parents are finding out about what schools have just adopted, in large part, interestingly, by three different surveys came out this last year. All three of them showed something really unusual, and that is the vast majority of parents are now looking for educational alternatives for their kids. In our area, there isn't really an educational alternative. There's not much being provided. And, you know, we considered homeschooling as an option, and at the same time, we're also broken, you know, just from an evangelistic point of view, because we know that there's quite a number of other parents, both Christians and unbelievers, that are in public, and they want to remove their children as well. But either, you know, they're in a situation where both parents are working, or single parent home or, you know, they're not believers, ultimately we want to provide with them an education that recovers the true meaning of knowledge, that teaches a child to glorify God, because you're instructing the heart. You know, that was really the, you know, what the reformers captured. Even John Knox even said that it is the duty of churches to establish schools and colleges so that youth may be trained in the knowledge and fear of God, because only then will they actually be good citizens. So I walked into my associate's office and I said, Greg, I think we need to start a school. And he rocks back in his chair, looks at me, and blinks. And says, I'm going to need some time to think about that. And then I said, "That, you know, of course, that's fine." Well, he came across then a lecture that, not a lecture, it was an interview with Dr. Larry Arnn from Hillsdale College, in which Dr. Larry Arnn said that starting a school is a tremendous act of citizenry. Well, that's true. And not only is it an act of good citizenry, it's actually a biblical principle, because as our Lord said in Matthew chapter 28, it is the essence of discipleship. We are to make disciples of all nations. Another way to translate Matthew case there, discipleship is pupils, learning. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're training people in the knowledge of God. So he comes back. We're thinking, okay, we both worked in a Christian school environment in the past. We know the volume of work that is required. Is this even feasible? And we, over the course of the next month, so this is all very recent, one thing happened right after the next. An old friend of my associate, Greg Hauser is his name, called him out of the blue from Omaha, Nebraska. He's a 38-year commercial general contractor, and didn't even have Greg's cell number anymore. He tracked him down in our church. He's like, man, you know, hey, Greg, I just wanted to track you down. I don't know, the Lord just laid on my heart. I got to find out what Greg is up to these days. And I Googled your name, and I found that you're working at High Point Baptist Church now. That's great. And so Greg's talking to him about what we're doing, and we're thinking about starting a school here. But, you know, the problem comes in, where do we put all the students, and is it even possible? You know, we're looking at an addition for our facility to accommodate a K-12. We came across this company about, you know, that we think can get the job done in just 9 months, which is just incredible, especially in a, you know, post-COVID society. And, well, it turns out that this guy is now a representative for a regional representative for the structures, and he's right behind us. He puts wind in our sails. We can get this job done. And you know, of course, there's a lot that has to happen between now and this fall, but all the pieces of the puzzle have moved along the way, and we recognize it is beyond a civic duty. This is an important component of what it means to be a Christian. Even James Monroe, you know, one of the founders of our Constitution, said the principal capacity of a free government is derived from the sound morals and intelligence of the people, and the more extensive the means of education, the more confidently may we rely on the preservation of our public liberties. And Benjamin Rush likewise said the only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be laid in religion. Without this, there can be no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty. And liberty is the object and life of all republican government. So when we look at what SEL's objective, social-emotional learning's objective, how in the world can you define good citizenry from a humanistic perspective? Even our founding fathers understood that, just as a matter of principles of conscience. And so we're evaluating all of these things, What is interesting is that, you know, Horace Mann, I mentioned him before, but his objective was to, he actually argued, this is a quote, our public schools are not theological seminaries, and so they should be debarred by law from inculcating the peculiar and distinctive doctrines of any one religious denomination among us, or that all that is essential to religion or salvation. At the same time that he was saying that, another individual that we're familiar with, named Daniel Webster, said in 1823, if religious books are not widely circulated among the masses in this country, I don't know what is going to become of us as a nation. If truth be not diffused, error will be. If God and his word are not known and received, the devil and his works will gain the ascendancy. If the evangelical volume does not reach every hamlet, the pages of a corrupt and licentious literature will. If the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of the land, anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end. It almost sounds like he's a prophet. So, I mean, anarchy, misrule, degradation, misery, corruption and darkness, reigning without mitigation, that's the society that we've observed. That is the fruit of a humanist philosophy. So we believe that education must inherently come from an exclusive Christian worldview. That is actually what it means to be a good citizen. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3, actually. Let light shine out of darkness. That is shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so then you ask the question, okay, what is most appropriate then? What is an education philosophy that is most consistent with a Christian worldview? Well, it really, when you look at the foundational principle of what classical education is, that's exactly what it does. In fact, as I'm looking at classical education, I'm thinking, that's very interesting. Because when we're talking about educating the whole of a person, the objective in classical education is actually the same as my objective in preaching. It's preaching to the whole of the person. What it means to be human. And that's an important question too. When you're talking about secular humanism and what it means to be a good citizen, well, inherent in citizenry means to be human. Can you even tell me what it means to be human in a humanistic society? What distinguishes you as a human? And even in classical education, that's why classical education can't be taught outside of a Christian worldview. Because if you're trying to educate the whole person, and you can't even define what a person is, then you're going to miss the mark every time. But if I am preaching to the heart, if you will, or instructing or teaching in an academic environment to the heart, then we are identifying what it means actually to be a person. Now, of course, in Scripture, the word heart is not talking about the physical organ. It's talking about the centrality of the individual's personhood, their being and personality. It is what energizes and drives all of the faculties of the human person. In fact, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9, you know, Deuteronomy chapter 4, of course, is a classic text where we see, you know, the spheres of authority, especially as it relates to instruction to children. God has created government to restrain evil. He's given the sphere of authority to the church to instruct, to teach in sound doctrine, to govern in matters of spirituality, and he's also given the family as well, the stewardship there. And he has ordained that both the church and the family as institutions to impart true knowledge. And Deuteronomy chapter 4 talks about that, and verse 9 says, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently. so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Now the antithesis of that is in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, where Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You brood of vipers, how you, being evil, speak what is good. How do you, being evil, sorry, I kind of got lost in my thoughts there. How do you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." Point is, your heart is evil, it's corrupt. And so because your heart is evil and corrupt, it's going to be evil and corruption that comes from your heart. The very opposite of good citizenry, the very things that Daniel Webster was concerned about, that Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 says biblical instruction corrects. Because reformation always must begin with the heart. Of course, that's why we say, you know, in biblical counseling that we are never truly counseling unless a person is saved. Prior to that, we're evangelizing the person. Because the heart has to be changed. Behavior must be born out of the heart.
But amen.
It is the heart. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said amen. And perhaps we should take some listener questions before we go to our final break. We have Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, isn't one of the contrasts between classical Christian education and government education, or as it's often called, public schools, that as the government schools are indoctrinating and brainwashing children to believe falsehoods and teaching them what they must think, classical Christian education trains young people how to think?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that is because when we talk about, so when we're talking about the heart, right, getting back to the essence of what a human is, you know, the reformers were also very careful and diligent to define what it means that we are created in the Imago Dei. That's what makes you human, which means that we are, we exercise reason and logic. We have a soul. Therefore we have a responsibility as believers, to teach our children to be discerning. I completely agree with that statement. I think it's an important component as well, a key distinction, between, really propaganda. In fact, John Dewey had quite a bit to talk of, you know, he had quite a bit to talk about that with respect to removing logic as a part of historical curriculum in the United States, because in these totalitarian regimes, you don't want free thinkers. You don't want people thinking independently. You need to teach them what to think in order to have social reform. So since, you know, especially the 1940s, that's how come all of a sudden you have the majority of graduating seniors from high school believing that socialism is good. It's because they haven't been taught how to think, they've been taught what to think. They've been indoctrinated. And so we have to retrain the way we educate to train the heart. And when we speak of the heart in the biblical sense, we're addressing not the romantic epicenter as we tend to think in Western society, but heart rather in the Hebrew sense of the word heart, which means this is the center of the person's mind and their will and their conscience. I forget the individual's name who called in, but I think he did get back to reference
Arnie in Perry County.
The person. I'm sorry, what was his name?
Arnie in Perry County.
Arnie in Perry County. Yeah, so what we're ultimately doing is training students to think both vertically, so that they have a right relationship with God and horizontally a right relationship with fellow man.
And we have to go to our final break right now. If you intend to send in a question, do it immediately. We're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Pastor Matt Tarr right after these messages.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Why can't we see God? How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Since 2007, Anchored in Truth Ministries has hosted the annual True Church Conference at Grace Life Church of the Shoals in Muscle Shoals, Alabama. This conference began as a training conference for pastors and church leaders who are striving to build true, biblically healthy churches. Conference themes have included church discipline, repentance, discipleship, conversion, hyper-Calvinism, the family, the doctrine of sin, and the pretenders. Anchored in Truth Ministries would like to invite you to the 2022 True Church Conference, which will be held from February 17th through the 20th. The theme of the conference will be Healthy Body Life in the Local Church, specifically as it pertains to biblical church discipline, biblical counseling, biblical conflict resolution, and protecting the sheep from savage wolves. The scheduled speakers for the conference are Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, Jeff Noblet, Jonathan Sims, Richard Caldwell, David Miller, and Barry King. For more information or to register for the conference, please visit anchoredintruth.org. That's anchoredintruth.org. And click on the True Church Conference tab at the top of the page. Hope to see you there.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Welcome back. And Matt Tarr, we have an anonymous listener who says, to be quite honest, sometimes I get sick and tired of Christians trying to shame parents about not having their children enrolled in private schools. And the fact of the matter is that some Christians just cannot afford the tuitions involved, and the churches are not reducing their rates for certain individuals low enough for making this possible. What is your response to this?
Man, I am so glad he brought that up. I hear that. And that's why I think our rhetoric has often been unhelpful as it relates to matters of liberty. Now, I do object. I like the principle I heard said one time. In fact, it was from Tim Challies. We don't go to public school. We don't send our children either to public school. Our family goes to public school. Oftentimes, parents send their children to public school as an abdication of their biblical responsibility due to Deuteronomy chapter 6 to train their child up in the way of Christ, and because they think it's easier. But if you are truly truly concerned about your child's heart, you know that public education is not easier. However, that gets to the issue of, yeah, providing affordable education for that alternative, because it is true. It is a matter of liberty and wisdom in selecting your method of education. The scriptures are silent about that, but there are important principles that we need to apply. That being the case, I recognize the hardship on families that can't afford Christian education, private education. They can't afford, not so much afford, but homeschooling for whatever option, whatever reason that might be, is not really an option for them. Now, that being said, given the responsibility, as I quoted from John Knox earlier, for the church to provide education, it can be much more affordable for parents if churches provide Christian education. And the reason I say that is because it requires a public education system between $11,000 and $14,000, in our county at least, to educate a child. Our school district is a bit higher than that. However, about 45% of those costs are related to the facilities themselves. And so if you take $11,000 and you reduce that by almost 50%, you're in the, $5,500 neighborhood. Well, there's also a whole lot of additional things that are not necessary in a private Christian education that also the public schools provide. Things like guidance counselors that are really the strongest proponents of social emotional learning that we were talking about earlier. But there's also something else, and I'm going to ask your listeners for help with this. If you have a local Christian school, encourage them to capitalize on this program as well. There are two programs. One is called the Opportunity Scholarship Program. And so if you're in an underperforming school district, I think it's like the bottom 15% of schools in the state, the school is required to provide you a scholarship to attend the school of your choice.
But wow.
There's also another one. Yeah, and so there's a number of, so our church is strategically located because we are within a 10-mile radius of 11 school districts, which means that the public education system is required by Pennsylvania law to provide free public transportation to our school.
Wow, and now is this a unique thing to Pennsylvania?
So, and there are some states that have incorporated this, but yes, this is Pennsylvania specifically. So if you are in an underperforming school district, those schools are required to provide education scholarships, But it gets even better. There's another program called EITC, and that is the Educational and Improvement Tax Scholarship. And what this program does is it allows you to give to High Point Classical Academy. If you're interested at all, you can go. You can just email for now. Our website will be up in about 2 weeks, but you can email school@highpointbaptist.com, school@highpointbaptist.com, or encourage your local private Christian school to apply for this program. And an individual or a business can declare, you have your tax liability, what you have in your state taxes that you owe to the state annually. Instead of giving the state tax you owe to the state, you can fill out this one-page form that says that you actually gave what you projected was your state tax liability to your private school of choice. And then 90% of your state tax liability is eliminated. So to summarize what I just said, you can reallocate up to 90% of what you owe in your state income tax to the private school of choice. So if you're a business owner or you are an individual, you can, without adding a single dime to your budget, without taking any money from your church or from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because I hope your listeners are giving to both, you can also give to High Point Classical Academy, or if your local private Christian school is enrolled in this program, you can declare up to...
I unfortunately think we lost Pastor Matt Tarr. I hope he calls back. But in the meantime, while I'm waiting for him to call back, I am going to give the church website so you can contact them. It's highpointbaptist.com, highpointbaptist.com, and I hope that you reach out to them for information about their church and also about the school, the High Point Classical Academy. Also, they have a phone number in Larksville, Pennsylvania. It's 570-371-4404. That is 570-371-4404. And always mention when you contact anybody who's been on this show, mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I want to also let you know, and I don't have the exact date, but I believe it's sometime in June, if I'm not mistaken. High Point Baptist Church is going to be having a conference with Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker. Sorry that we dropped you. I don't know how that happened, Matt. But are you not having Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker at some point in the future do a conference at the church?
Yeah, that's right. We're trying to get that sorted out in June. We haven't landed on a hard date yet. So more information, if you follow us on highpointbaptist.com, you can get up-to-date information for that to register. And, of course, that'll be also published on their website, too. We're just finishing up talking about the EITC tax program. And like I said, make sure that you capitalize on that, because that allows you, that allows your private school to make the cost of education significantly more affordable for parents. Because when you're, for instance, you're looking at our family. We have four boys, and the prospect of, $5,000 per student is, that's reasonable. Okay, but then all of a sudden, I'm looking at four boys, $20,000. Well, I know there's no way that I can do that. But if it costs, if $5,000 is like the break-even point for High Point Classical Academy, but we have enough individuals in our church and enough individuals that appreciate the school, the students who attend the school, local businesses, and so forth, that contribute what they owe in their state taxes to the school instead, so they don't owe it to the state, then you can significantly reduce the cost of tuition for that school.
Well, we're out of time, brother. I want to give your website one more time, highpointbaptist.com, highpointbaptist.com. And I hope that a lot of our listeners reach out to you to find out more about this school. And I hope that local folks begin rolling their kids there once the school is up and running. And I want to thank you so much for doing a superb job today. I want to thank everybody who listened today. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.